good. I got you. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smartin Pants.
And now for the lighter side of the apocalypse.
is that our new approach? Yeah. Funny stories, yeah, from the collapse of right. the Roman Empire.
The road to hell paid by mafia contractors. Road construction next 40,000 miles.
Well, at least the roads are getting done. That's what sunk Scott Walker. He didn't take care of the roads. Is that
what it was?
Yeah, people got ticked at him.
I thought it was his pea brain. But
well, no. Well, that's for like...
That's an advantage in that group.
I mean, like the people who would normally vote for him got mad because he wasn't like fixing the roads. And,
oh, is that what it was?
And okay. You know, pretty much stealing the money.
So lacking a cerebellum doesn't matter.
But no. the like roads. Potholes. Yeah. It's all about potholes.
It's the potholes. Well, that makes sense. That's consistent.
Yeah. It's Flag Day. It's a twofer today.
Okay.
It's Flag Day.
Okay.
And you're like a flag.
I love the flag.
Friends with flags, yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, fun with flags. You do your little podcast with Sheldon.
Sheldon and Amy and I, yes.
We throw Allison in there, too. She's a flag.
That's right. That's good. Yeah.
But so it's Flag Day.
Yes.
And it's also Donald Genius Trump's birthday
today.
Oh,
man, I wish you hadn't told me that.
So that means he gets to make sweet, sweet love to the flag tonight.
Yet again.
The flags, it's your birthday.
Wow. Flags, look out.
It's like birthdays and anniversaries.
Here he comes.
You got to give it up. I think he does need a date though, because he's been a lot of weird stuff obviously comes out of his mouth, but and comes out the other end too.
Yeah. But it's hard to tell which is which sometimes. He has a little. Did you ever notice his mouth looks like a little anus?
It does.
It's very strange.
It is. He's got an anus mouth.
it's like some kind of weird surrealistic novel or something.
But he's been obsessing about Taylor Swift lately. He's commented many times and posted stuff about why is she a liberal? Why isn't she supporting him? And he keeps talking about how attractive she is, because that's his way of valuing someone is how a woman. Yeah. But he keeps talking about Taylor Swift.
He's such
Swift.
An Adonis. I can see why he thinks that way.
I think he's mad because she's a real billionaire. But
well, there's that.
so he seems confused. I know that's rare, but he seems confused that Taylor Swift is like, and all she's doing is telling people to get out and vote.
I think he should look around. I mean, he's got Joe Piscopo, right? I mean, what is his celebrity lineup? Exactly the A-list.
Rob Schneider.
Yeah, I know. I mean. but then
this week, he was in Congress. He went and met with they all lined up.
Yep.
And
kissed his you-know-what.
Kissed the ring.
Well,
no, not that ring. but then he starts talking about Nancy Pelosi. And about how, well, in another life we could have been a great couple. We would have really been hooked up together
Wow.
And Pelosi's daughter, who's like some kind of political operative, said, "Please stop talking about my mom."
I guess this is like it's like back when the dictators that used to have those 4-hour long speeches about it, Castro or something. It's like he just says whatever. I mean, at this point, he just says whatever comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
It's just kind of like us. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, do we want us to be president? No.
Hell no.
Are you kidding? What are you talking about? stream of consciousness. That's what we're doing here.
One of the congressmen who came out of their meeting said, "It was like talking to your drunk uncle."
Your drunkle, yes.
And he was talking about Hannibal Lecter again to the Congress people.
I want to know what that portends.
Yeah.
He's got a taste for human meat somewhere along the line, because he obviously keeps bringing it up. Maybe he's got some new solution to the immigration problem that we don't want to know about.
But you know, but the master of the deal saw that that he's come. Unless he's in jail, he's coming to Milwaukee next month.
Yeah.
And so he commented on how much he loves Milwaukee.
Yeah.
He said, it's a horrible place.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like 19 different sycophants had to like spin that and say, well, he didn't mean Milwaukee is horrible. He means that, the crime is terrible there or the way they stole the election.
My elderly mother-in-law and I were watching this on TV, and she said, why would he say a thing like that? And I have to say, I was a little intemperate. I apologize to me. I said, and I'm abbreviating my comment, he's an effing racist. That's why.
I was going to say, he did issue a clarification. So I just meant there are a lot of black people there.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And in my, it's, first of all, it's one of his, all the cities are falling apart.
Right.
Obviously, for that reason.
And the crime.
And but his other thing is, that's going to play well. I mean, drive through the Fox Valley and you see nothing but Trump and Confederate flags. I mean, there's a whole group of voters going like, you're right. Yeah.
Wisconsin officials have been running against mostly Madison, but also Milwaukee to a lesser extent for decades.
Yeah. I don't think that was so stupid. Actually, that's probably smart for him to say something like that.
Yeah, but he got a lot of clapback from the mayor and the
The mayor
Tammy,
was very funny.
Tammy,
I did Tammy, watch.
Yeah, he goes right back at you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That was masterfully done. I thought it was really nice.
And Tammy Baldwin had a nice statement about beer and brats and motorcycles. So. She's such a good politician.
Anyway. Oh well. It doesn't make, here's the thing. You know this as well as I do, Mel. At this point in the political development in the United States, it doesn't make any difference whether it's the Mad King or somebody else.
Right.
I mean,
right.
There's a group of people who do not believe that the 1600s actually happened. The concept of a secular state that does not take sides in moral and religious conflicts is beyond something that people were thinking about after the 30 Years' War in the 1600s is now beyond our comprehension for about 40% of our population. So I'm not so terribly sure that it wouldn't be some other crazy moron.
No,
tomorrow.
I mean, and we've been around long enough to see this evolution of, Reagan was essentially
de-evolution.
Trump,
Well, it's a great game plan. You impoverish and create gigantic divisions based on class and race and so on. It's an old playbook, as you were saying to me before the show. And so you do that, and then it's very hard for people to have generous spirits and tolerance and all these other things when physical necessity is staring you in the face.
Yeah.
And you're feeling no respect and you're feeling no participation and so on and so forth. And another billionaire just created a robot that took your job and you're just like, oh, somebody's to blame,
There but that was a good billionaire.
That was a good billionaire. Yeah, he's getting $45 billion or something. I guess. Did you read that about Elon Musk?
Yeah.
The shareholders, they had a meeting and they decided that even though the stock of the company is plummeting, that he deserves a $45
billion
paycheck.
$45 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Well, I mean, that just gives him an incentive to work harder.
An incentive to rule the world.
And where would they be without that leadership?
I just hope he uses it as all of us pray, hope and pray, to move to Mars, as he plans. Another one of those big solar bursts from our lovely sun. And I don't know if you read about that, but that when we had the sparkles here in the sky on Earth, it weren't sparkles on Mars. Yeah. It was like deadly radiation because there's no magnetic sphere around Mars. There's no, nothing. Yeah. It's just hard energy just hitting that surface of the Mars. So, so Elon, I think you should move there.
Yeah.
There's a whole planet just for you. Melon husk, as I like to call him.
So, hey, want to thanks everybody who stopped by the Waterfront Festival on Sunday to say hi to us. It was great to see a lot of the WRT listeners and chat. And I'm always so impressed with how smart and funny and weird they are.
Yeah,
Mostly the latter, but
The other two are in there too.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of
it's a potent mix.
It is. So, and
we got sort of synergy.
We got to see our lab geek Chris out in the fresh air, which is good. He's not inhaling, chemicals for a little bit. So that's good.
It's good. Yeah, it helps him sometimes to get the sun directly on his flesh, and it kind of. Those things that were growing on him are now, fortunately, got rid of. Yeah, I had a, it's funny you should mention that, because I had a colleague from where I work who showed up with their wife, and that was nice and very pleasant conversation and so on. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And not to forget, the many generous benefactors for the station, the people who pledged last week.
Right.
We did pretty well, I think. We always have an impossible dream for our goal. You know? In fact, She Who Must Be Obeyed sings that song from The Sound of Music every time. To dream the impossible dream. But we did do pretty well, and it's thanks to you, the Minions. And, of course, many people commented about the little back and forth with Esty. That was especially fun. And also the nice compliment of the Mellon Floyd family, a little bit like the Manson family, but still, we love them all. They were here last week to help us out, and that was really fun.
Yeah, we had lots of people in this off.
We had Allison, and we had Ruby, and you guys, and I just wish Floyd had been here. That would have been a full house.
Yeah.
And maybe Floyd's spouse, and we get started.
It's a small room.
We'll have to like rent a hall or something next time.
We did get a note from She Who Must Be Obeyed, of course, saying, please paraphrase or read as is. Says, thanks to everyone who donated. You already done that. Says, you were the wind beneath our wings. You were the gas to our engine. You were the wind that breaks among us here. It says, you put the unity in community. Actually, our listeners put the it in community.
So, my gorge is rising, by the way, here. I just want to know.
You can still pledge online if you want. We're not really pushing here, but if you miss a chance to donate, you can go online. And all thank you gifts are available through Sunday, June 16th. That's this Sunday. Yep. And then we also have $2,700 in challenge grants for donations. So that'll that'll match anything you give. So, but a little low key there.
So strange, what you're saying, Mel, is strangely enough, the station will take money at any time. It's our open door policy.
I'm trying to help you out there.
Right. You know what? I love getting, of course, donations, getting pledges from the community. But it's really fun now that our show in particular is being podcast, and people are looking at the archive for their favorite shows. In addition to listening to regular radio, is that we get so many pledges now from other parts of the country. I just love that. Right. And last week we got one from San Francisco, which was very, very nice.
One said Austin. I don't know if it was Texas or Minnesota. But
I think that was Minnesota, actually. Okay. That one was, yeah. But it's just fun to have people from across the country tuning in to WT shows through the wonders of the internet. So, thank you.
That's very cool. I miss getting pledges from Antarctica, though. We used to get those once in a while, but I think
those was the best.
I think those minions all went crazy and killed each other.
Yes, exactly. As they are wont to do when they're down there.
Over a chess game. What was that rumor that the Russian guy on the space shuttle. It was fake, but it was something like a Russian guy shot another cosmonaut over a chess game. I think it was.
Well, if you're Russian and you're going to shoot somebody over anything, it's going to be a chess game.
Yeah.
So. Yes, right.
Well, here's a way to raise some money. A Madison man was found guilty yesterday of lying on applications to receive Paycheck Protection Program loans, PPPs. This guy named Eric Upchurch. He got
up your church.
He got about $400,000 in deposited into his bank accounts from the Small Business Administration.
Wow!
And then he immediately turned it into cryptocurrency so he could wash it.
Oh my Lord! Which is the only reason cryptocurrency exists, basically.
Yeah. I don't want to do too much more Trump, but he had a statement about cryptocurrency this week. Saying,
no
cryptocurrency
doubt.
Must all be made and mined in the USA. I think he thinks it's like a physical thing you dig out of the ground.
Yeah. Who knows? Hey, here's a good story. I saw this week, and I was actually both amazed and somewhat disheartened in retrospect. I wouldn't say I'm happy now, but it just shows you how bad things were. This is a really interesting story. This comes from the Wisconsin State Journal. It says, emboldened by the prospect of potentially securing majorities in the state legislature with our new maps, Wisconsin Democrats have put candidates on the ballot in all but two of Wisconsin's 99 state assembly races and every state Senate race. This is the first time in over 20 years that that basically we've had somebody, a Democrat, running in every Senate race because they thought there's no point in doing it in the past. So the sad part is to think that there we were basically for almost 20 years having no possibility of being able to even have a fair race in most of these districts. Right. So. But with the new maps, of course, that we have now, there's at least the possibility that structurally this could be a fair fight.
Well, there's only 34 senators? Or no, there's
33 senators,
so
and 99.
It's, you know, you don't need many to tip that balance.
Right. I mean, so. And so 90, and then 97 of the 99 races for the assembly actually have are now competitive. They weren't competitive before. It was a waste of resources, time, and energy to even put people up for some of these seats because it was so skewed in the past.
So one thing, and you've mentioned this a few times when we talk about this stuff, that that you can't gerrymander a whole state.
Yeah, know,
which
yeah.
is, you know, why that sometimes we end up with like a Democratic governor.
Right. Or, how do they do that? Or, you know, or they must be a purple
attorney
state.
Attorney general or something. Texas is trying to pass a law. I don't know how far along it's moved, but it's Texas, so they'll probably pass it. That statewide candidates can only be declared winners if they win a majority of like some sort of district.
So it's like the Electoral College.
Basically. Yeah. So they want to make it like
So from my mouth to Satan's ears. Yeah. What you're saying? Somebody else figured this out.
You could probably win like 70% of the vote.
Yeah. Oh
and,
my God.
And still
yes.
lose.
Yes.
And
I mean, like Austin, for example.
Right.
That's just a county.
Right. Right?
So if you got to win all the counties or a majority of the
counties. Yeah. I don't know if it was how they were going to break it up with the like the because they've got like they've got like hundreds of counties. It's like 100 and. God, what is it? It's a ridiculous number.
Yeah.
It's like almost 200 counties. But it's like,
what you're doing is you're, again, supercharging the electoral power of the rural voter.
Right.
And so it's like, it's not one person, one vote anymore because apparently, according to the Republicans, when you like other people and live in groups with them, your vote goes down. Your voting power goes down. If you're crazy and you live out on the ranch by yourself, then you're fine. We increase your voting power.
There are 254 counties in Texas.
Yeah, right.
Wisconsin's got about, what is it, 66, 67, something like that, 68?
I know. I only remember Ohio's because you know, I lived in Ohio when I was a kid. There were 88, and I remember that because it was the same number as keys on a piano.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's easy to remember. Yeah, Every state should do that.
Right,
so,
right.
Some number that means something else, you know.
See, that's my thing about how to have fair maps is you should start with the counties because you've got these lines that have already been there for a lot of times 100, 150 years.
Right, yeah.
And start with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, figure out, okay, we need 60,000 people,
right.
You know, a population. So find like three counties that okay, this is a district.
I think the Republicans in Wisconsin were using wormholes, as I recall. It's like no, this county is connected with that county because there's a transdimensional
quantum entanglement.
Quantum entanglement. You're very good, thank you.
Waukesha County and Adams County.
Yeah. You can't see it because when you look at it, of course, it changes the measure. Measurement, you know. Hey, do you want to say, talking about Wisconsin, that 2023 was a record year for tourism here in the Badger State?
Really?
These figures were released on Tuesday by the state, and it says that direct tourism spending statewide increased 5% from 2023 to $15.7 billion, and that's for an overall economic impact of $25 billion. Dane County outpaced nearly all of the state's 72 counties. You know, whatever they're doing, I mean, I remember this when Scott Walker was governor. It's like, oh, the Wisconsin miracle. Yeah, okay, it's the county that you hate the most that's making all the money for you. Any rate, but there's 72 counties in Wisconsin, it turns out, according to this story.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And Dane County outpaced nearly all of these counties and grew by 9.9% in direct spending to $1.5 billion and was up 8.4% in overall economic impact. That's all the other things. There's the spending and then how that affects other things that are going on in the economy. So so that's pretty good. That's good for us. On the downside, I don't know if you saw this, they did revise the deficit for Madison, but it's still it came down by about $5 million, but the deficit for the city is still $22 million, or $22 million in the hole. So this is a structural deficit. It means that they just don't have enough money to cover the spending on staff and services. And this is a problem, of course, because as you may have noticed, Mel, the city is getting bigger and lots of people are coming here.
Yes.
And then there are lots of people who take advantage of city services and other things that that for some strange reason don't have to pay anything into the city kitty. And you know who I'm talking about, Fitchburg. No. Take, take, take. That's all you do.
So the Minnesota GOP endorsed candidate for the U.S. Senate, Royce White. He's making quite a name for himself.
Royce White. That's a great name.
He's doing a good thing.
Yeah.
He posted a map of crime in Minneapolis, and it was a map with a bunch of dots on it where the hotbeds of crime.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Where did he get this from?
He took a map from the Parks Department. It was actually a map of drinking fountains in Minneapolis.
Known centers of criminality.
People are just taking too much water.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, I almost feel bad for the guy.
Oh, no, he's a piece of work.
He's
been running around talking about children and how the Republicans love children and the evil Democrats, you know, bake them up in pies or whatever. I don't know. But
that's like what Trump's thinking about these days, actually. and his Hannibal Lecter.
But
references.
Then, of course, here's, you know, time for the other shoe, which always drops.
Yeah.
He's $100,000 behind in his child support.
Yeah. These guys have more shoes than a centipede, I swear.
I just love the drinking fountains. So.
Drinking fountains. Now, how would you get that confused? That's interesting.
I don't think it was confusion. I think they just...
They thought he'd pass it off.
Yeah, and, just throw
it. Oh, look, it's from an official source.
Throw out some crap here, and it's out there now. It's not, you know...
Speaking of shoes dropping, I don't know if you have heard of this guy, but Tony Evans, he's a longtime pastor of a big old mega church down in Dallas.
Okay.
He stepped down just this last Sunday. And he said,
Money or boys?
Well, I don't think he wants to get into the specifics. He said sin. It was an undisclosed sin.
Really?
Yeah. So
that covers
so
a lot.
Boys, I think is probably,
that's a pretty broad category. Yeah.
It could be both. It could be, boys who were like blackmailing him or something.
Rent boys.
Money and or black boys. Yeah. After all, it was in Dallas.
Rent boys.
Oh, rent boys.
I didn't
I'm
say
sorry.
Black
oh,
boys.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. I thought you were trying to combine all the things that a Dallas megachurch would find horrifying. The foundation of our ministry has always been our commitment to the Word of God as the absolute supreme standard of truth, he said. And to which we are to conform our lives. When we fall short of that standard due to sin, we are required to repent and restore a relationship with God. A number of years ago, I fell short of that standard, and that's all you need to know. He didn't say that, but that was basically...
And I'm off to the Caymans.
Well, I think the reason why it's happened years ago is because he's 74, so I don't think he's getting it on as much as he used to.
Yeah.
So. Let's see. He spent years building a presence in... he actually is a black man. He's African-American. He spent years building a presence in overwhelmingly white evangelical spaces. So he was trying very hard, basically, to break into that demographic. And he became the first African-American to have published a study Bible. So that makes it kind of unfortunate, actually. He says, "We serve a God that is merciful to forgive and gracious to restore," he said, but... In the days ahead, somebody else is going to be taken over. So.
The whole concept of the mega church, just, I can't wrap my head around that. That's just, you see these videos.
It's mega donations, too.
I guess. So, it's like going to a rock concert or something, I guess, for that demographic. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously something to be said for strength in numbers, and people get carried away when there's a lot of people doing something. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like going to a Trump rally.
Sure. French Revolution, you know.
Guillotine, guillotine.
Trump mentioned guillotines in one of his truths
now?
This week. He felt persecuted. Kind of like, they're getting the guillotines out after me. Or
whenever I think of the
guillotine. I don't think he wrote that one.
Whenever I think of the guillotine, I always think of a quote from Dr. Guillotin, who said that when the blade came down, it would be like a cool breeze along the back of the neck.
Just a little off the back, please.
Yeah, right. Well, he thought, you know, it would be humane because beheading.
They used to like feed you to weasels or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Horses would go in four different directions or something and they tie you to
giddy
them.
Yeah.
No, but when you were beheaded, which is a pretty efficient form of execution.
Yeah.
It before the Industrial Revolution of the guillotine, it depended on the skill set. Of the beheader, of the executioner.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is just another way of making sure that mechanisms can do it better, right? All the executioners in France were like, "Oh, I'm out of work now."
They lost their jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Throwing shoes at the guillotine.
Exactly.
This is a not quite related story, but almost. Chinese tech companies hiring cheerleaders to motivate programmers. So some Chinese tech companies have hired attractive young women and put them in like little skirts and white blouses.
Oh, heavens.
And have them go around the office and try to cheer up these programmers by encouraging them and saying, "You can do it. Yay. Good job."
Do you remember that Simpsons episode where
these guys have probably never seen a woman? These are programmers.
Yeah, right, exactly. Not a live one. They've never seen
one without a valve.
Yeah. They've seen them on screens before. Do you remember that the Simpsons episode where Homer is. Scorpio, remember Scorpio? He's the Bond-like supervillain that hires him.
Yeah.
And he's in charge of this section. And he's like, "Homer, you need those employees to work 30% faster." And so he goes, hey guys, can you work 30% faster? And they're like, "Oh, yeah, sure, Homer." He's like, "Woohoo!" So that's... You know.
He must have gone to Wharton or something.
Exactly. Hey, President Obama was in the news this week.
He was.
Yes, as his presidential library is about to be completed. If all goes according to plan, the Obama Center is going to be open to the public in 2026. That's pretty good. It's taken a long time. I don't know if you remember this or not, but he announced that he was going to have a center there. I mean, presidents all have their libraries and historical things that they do now. But he announced this way back in 2015, and people in Chicago, of course, were very excited. Companion and I were excited. We thought, wow, this would be great, dude, because we love
you
things
love the
like
presidential
that. We love the presidents, and we love to go to these things, and there's not one that's really that close, and this will even be closer than the Lincoln thing. So we thought, well, let's pop on down there, but it's been a while. And
Where's the Lincoln one?
In Springfield.
Springfield?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which Springfield?
It's the cartoon Springfield.
Okay.
Right next to Shelbyville.
There's a Springfield in Kentucky, and it's right next to Shelbyville.
It's right next to Shelbyville, yep. I'm well aware.
Oh, yeah, you would be.
Yeah, Shelbyville, where they all marry their cousins. I got that one right.
I think it's just Shelby, actually. Yeah, but, anyway.
I had a friend, his name was Shelby, actually, when I was in college. Isn't that funny?
That's a good name.
It's a solid name, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. People were worried about gentrification and... There was all sorts of lawsuits and all sorts of other things.
Of course.
Over of course there was. But the groundbreaking ceremony finally happened in 2021.
Because they're going to use it for child trafficking, right?
I assume so. Yeah, I don't know if Hillary's going to have any jobs there or not.
Bring in people from Kenya or something.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that would be the way station.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
right.
Exactly it. But there was a ceremony on Monday that... it comes at kind of an uncertain time, of course, and many of the people that voted for Obama in the years since have kind of drifted towards Trump, which is a little odd. I think it's they somehow think that they need somebody to change things, and they falsely believe that Trump might be that person. It's been problematic in terms of COVID was a setback and so on and so forth. It's going to be a 19-acre campus, though, and it's going to have a lot of the stuff that you see at presidential libraries, including a replica of the Oval Office, exhibits from his time in the White House, and so on. And I bet that what they will not have, though, which I saw at the Lyndon B. Johnson Library in Austin, is they will not have a presidential seal that's three stories tall. That would be my guess.
Hey, in Madison on Juneteenth, on Wednesday, yep. there's going to be a groundbreaking ceremony for the Center for Black Excellence and Culture in Madison. It's a project more than 7 years in the making, so they're finally going to start.
So where is this going to be?
On Badger Road, okay. in the Madison's historically Black Park Street neighborhood.
Excellent.
The center.
You used to live over in that area.
I did. Yeah. The center. I liked it over there.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, there was like a.
Well, you had a growing family at the time, so you needed a bigger.
There was a drive-by shooting outside at the bus stop I waited at one time, but other than that, it was pretty nice.
Did they ever catch you?
when we brought Melvina home from the hospital. We were walking up. We had to park in the street, and we walked up, and there were cops out there, yeah. and they were all running up into our apartment building, and I said, you know, is everything okay? Because I have this baby that's like one day old,
right? Yeah.
And I'm feeling a little bit paternal right now. Yeah, yeah.
That was the height of your paternal feeling.
Yeah, it was all downhill from there. Yeah, right. but the cops went and they just like really wouldn't they didn't want to talk to me, and then we get up to the door that's locked, and they couldn't get in,
yeah,
and it's like. I got a key. If you want to be nice to me, tell
is
me
that
what
you said.
Yeah, if you want to tell me what's going on, I'll let you in.
Did they appreciate that, or
no?
They were brusque and unofficial.
Not very amused. Yeah. But then about 10 minutes later, I looked out the window and saw them like dragging some guy out in handcuffs.
Oh,
so
dear.
I looked at Melvina and said, "Welcome to the world, little girl."
And you gave her NRA approved handgun.
Then she was on her own after that. I'm like one of those animals where you have the kid and then you just leave him.
Yeah, crawl back into the sea. I laid you on the beach. What more do you want? Oh. Naggy children.
You're going to live how long? Speaking of children, I have Clopsy with me today.
Yeah, Clopsy
he's sitting
is
on my
adorable.
Lap right
what
now.
An adorable dog.
He's a sweetie, so I just couldn't bear to leave him home today.
I know I've asked you this question before, and it was the source of a lot of mystery on the behalf of the listeners.
What is he?
What kind of dog is that? He really is unique. I mean,
well,
I
as you remember back when we promised to do something that we still haven't done.
Yeah.
Clopsy has 12 different breeds based on the DNA.
I like Clopsy's size. Clopsy is a nice apartment-sized
dog.
He's
about 15 pounds, which is a nice size, and he's very sweet.
But he's so calm. You know, this is the thing. I really do want to get a dog.
He's very calm.
And I keep putting it off and thinking, well, it's going to be a lot of fuss and so on. Yeah. But, you know, a sweet little dog like that, that's just about the right size for a companion.
Yeah, no, he's a sweetie. He's my bud. So yeah. He just glommed onto me 2 or 3 years ago and decided.
I can see that.
I'm your dog. You're my person.
Yeah, a mutual adoption, yes.
But he's part Chihuahua because he's from Hawaii, and there's a lot of Chihuahuas in Hawaii.
Okay.
And I mean, he came from a homeless camp, so he was not from a breeder.
Okay.
By the way, and so he was part Chihuahua, part poodle.
Yeah.
A lot of small dogs in Hawaii.
Part feral chicken.
Part chicken. Part dolphin. Yeah. Part St. Charles.
What Spaniel.
Spaniel.
Yeah.
And those were the three main ones. Okay. But then
that explains a little bit of his coat, I think.
Yeah. And then there were like I say, about nine other, you know, others chipping in 2 or 3%.
It's a coalition.
It
what can
really
I say?
Was. It's a coalition of the willing. So anyway, hey, we have to take time's going faster today.
It's past time here.
But we have to take a break and play some announcements. Then we're going to come back with what you got there. Anything good?
Lots of stuff.
You got lots of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm
trying to find something nice. Got anything nice over
nice.
There?
Nice. Space travel makes you dumber. If you've seen Star Trek, you know what I mean.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Hey, Jordy, reverse the polarity on that. Oh, yeah, I never thought of that. Except I've done it 800 times.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in homebrewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
Hi, I'm Mel from The Mel and Floyd Show.
And I'm Mr. Smarty Pants.
This year we face the most important election of our lifetime.
We're talking, of course, about Madison Magazine's Best of Madison Top Radio Team category.
Once again, our little show is a finalist in that category.
Last year, you'll remember, we finished third in what can only be described as a rigged election and a very bad vote counting thing.
So we need you, the mighty WRT listeners, to find us a few votes.
Full disclosure, we admit there is not even a single felony on the record of any of our hosts, which is certainly a drawback.
Despite that, we're still asking for your support.
Voting runs through the end of June, so click to the Madison Magazine site and vote now for Mel and Floyd for Best Radio Team.
The fate of democracy depends on you.
Strollers Theater and Exquisite Exploits invite you to their production of POTUS, or Behind Every Great Dumbass, Are Seven Women Trying to Keep Him Alive, opening May 30th and running through June 15th at the Bartell Theater. This irresistible farce centers around a tight, fiercely funny ensemble of women played by some of Madison's finest actors. Join Stephanie Monday, Laura McMillan, Abigail Hindle, Kendra James, Carol Robinson, Cassie Carney, Julia Hauck, and Taylor Hartman Stripco, as they play characters ranging from overworked White House staffers to an investigative journalist and recent mother of twins, from the president's drug dealer sister to his young lover from Iowa. What could go wrong when they all end up in a room together with the First Lady? That's POTUS, or Behind Every Great Dumbass Are Seven Women Trying to Keep Him Alive, opening May 30th and running through June 15th at the Bartell Theater, brought to you by Strollers Theater and Exquisite Exploits. More information can be found at thebartelltheater.org. This is WORT 89.9 FM and WORTFM.org.
Hey, music fans, you've heard of the Madison Area Music Association, also known as MAMA. This homegrown nonprofit has an important mission, putting musical instruments in kids' hands while honoring local artists and supporting Madison's music scene as a whole. Every year, MAMA raises thousands of dollars for youth music programs with a Grammy-style awards show, highlighting the accomplishments of local musicians and educators. Now through June 14th, artists in all genres compete to reach the final round for award consideration. Your votes help decide who gets to walk across the stage this year to claim their Madison Area Music Award. Visit themamas.org to register, to listen to music samples, and cast your votes to decide the top contenders for each award. Again, the deadline for the first round of voting is midnight on Friday, June 14th at themamas.org. You are listening to WORT Madison.
I said I love me mama. Love me all night.
Hit it there. You got it. Get it. Get it. Shut up now.
And we're back.
There was a study just published in Nature, Ecology, and Evolution. And the study was some biologists used machine learning to analyze the sounds that savanna elephants make in Kenya. And they think that they kind of nailed this, that this is something that, of course, dogs come when they call, and dolphins also have apparently signature whistles for one another, but it turns out that elephants do too. Elephants have names for each other. This is the
Stampy.
Well, Stampy, Yeah, I mean, some of them are like, you know, trunkless and weird ears and stuff like that. You know, they're not nice names.
So it's like junior high.
It's like junior high, exactly. But no, they have these low rumbles, like trunkless.
You're the tiny trunk on that one.
Yeah, exactly. But this is part of their low rumbles that they can hear over long distances. You know, they do these subsonic things that they kind of transmit through the ground. And the scientists who are doing this work, and again, they were aided by AI in this, so maybe AI's messing with them, who knows. But they say that the animals have complex social structures and family groups. And they want to basically say, hey, you know, clocks in, you look over here, right? So so they do think that the animals have names. And again, this is not unusual. We of course, give dogs names, and the dogs do respond to the names. Of course, we also give cats names, and they just look at us funny and think, I wonder what that thing would taste like if it was dead. But apparently elephants...
I'll find out someday.
Yeah, you'll find... Yeah, exactly. All part of the master plan.
Revenge served cold. RFK campaign spells United States wrong on ballot petition.
There you go. So,
blame it on the brain worm.
I'm sure it was the Russians. Any rate.
Did you see? I don't think we talked about
the
this.
The untied states of anemia? Yes.
One time when I lived in Mankato, Minnesota, they built a new downtown mall, and they put a plaque up to dedicate it, and they had an architect from Los Angeles do it, and so that was mentioned on the plaque, only they spelled it Los Angles on this this bronze plaque.
Nice.
Probably what I was going to say now. So something about the brain worm.
The brain worm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Is he on enough ballots yet?
I don't think he is. I don't think so.
I don't know how that's going to affect anything, really.
Yeah.
Depends on which states, I guess. Is he on the ballot in Wisconsin?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. We should check that out.
Is Biden on all the ballots?
What was the state?
Ohio.
Yeah, they actually made an exception so he could get in, squeeze it in late. So. Yeah.
We're just going to leave you off the ballot.
Well, it's funny because, you know, not only are the Democrats having their convention in Chicago, which is, you know, an unfortunate parallel to some days gone by, but they're also having it around the same time of year as the famous 1968 convention, which is in August. And that's unusual.
It's
pretty
late,
they usually have them a little earlier than that. During the summer, Black Summer wildfires in southeastern Wisconsin. There was a rumor that was going around, and the rumor, this you remember back in 2019, 2020, the rumor was going around is that wombats, the official marsupial of the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show, had been saving other animals by herding them into their burrows.
Yeah.
And it turns out that that's, of course, just made up. That doesn't, that didn't happen.
I think we reported that as news.
But what did happen is that wombat burrows are really good. And so even though the wombats weren't necessarily herding them in there, lots of small mammals, birds, and reptiles actually did hang out in wombat burrows.
They beat ass for the
wombat burrows are really good burrows.
Oh, cool.
These are the best kind. An ecologist at Charles Sturt University in Australia, a man by the name of Dale Nimmo, fact-checked these rumors of hero wombats. He says, I didn't find any evidence that wombats were actively involved in saving any other animals, but there's a lot of evidence that species other than wombats regularly used wombat burrows. And so this is a very important thing. It does. These areas are very well adapted, basically, for the kinds of structures that wombats create. Wombat burrows are impressive. They have an infrastructure. They have multiple entrances. They have multiple chambers. They're wide. Their temperatures, they're way below the ground, so that means that they're able to control the temperatures. And, of course, you know, because you're a wombat aficionado, wombats can grow over to 3 feet and close to 90 pounds, and so they're making some pretty big holes in the ground for things to live in. So in a paper that was recently published in the Journal of Mammalogy, and boys, don't think that's what you think it is. It's something else. The team described how... this one researcher set up 20 cameras at 28 wombat burrows in the area and watched what was going in and out.
And these boroughs are a hub of activity, apparently. In this one study that they did, based on these trail cameras, 56 vertebrate species were observed at the burrows, and several native species were seen more often at the burrows than at other nearby sites. So this includes bush rats, lace monitor lizards, the painted buttoned quail, the gray shrike thrush, and of course, our friend, the Tasmanian devil.
Ooh, cool. Boeing's Starliner spacecraft is currently docked at the International Space Station.
Okay.
And it's suffering its fifth helium leak in its propulsion system.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I think that they forgot to check if there was a door open. That was the problem.
Yeah. You'll lose a lot of helium out that door.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Stewardess.
Does it need all these bolts?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How many bolts does this door need?
Yeah.
So
I think the guy that was the head of the FAA was, I seem to remember seeing him talking about, oh, I guess we should have looked into this more closely. This light regulation concept is not working out.
But that's another, I didn't get into the details of it, but that's another example of corporate mergers going bad. Because Boeing for decades was known as the safety company, the company that did really high quality work, and that was the number one driving thing. And then they merged with, what was it?
I can't even
Lockheed
remember.
Or something. But
now it's just a logo.
Yeah, yeah, and now it's like, well, we don't need all those bolts, do we? those cost like a nickel. I mean,
just slap Boeing on anything, and we're fine.
Oh. And another space travel story. A new report has revealed just what the impact looks like of traveling to Mars.
And, oh yeah, I was mentioning that earlier.
And they've done studies. They've done cognitive studies, and they found that if you're even off Earth for 3 days, your scores on these cognitive studies go way down, and then when you come back, they gradually pop back up. But but if you go to Mars, you're gonna end up there it'll be like a whole planet full of Scott Walkers. I mean, so.
Minus the charm and personality.
With the ham sandwich.
I got to tell you, though, I mean, this is a lesson for us all on the importance of environmental awareness. I mean, we are exquisitely adapted to this environment that happened to be in place when we evolved as a species.
The Goldilocks zone.
Exactly. And we're not going to thrive in anything else.
Yeah.
We're going to, I mean, I don't care how, I mean, you got some kind of technological solution out there that doesn't, bankrupt the world. Well, bring it forward. But, it's already set up optimally. We're set up optimally because, of course, evolution is just a giant culling machine that got rid of all the ancestors we had that couldn't deal with it. And so we're exquisitely balanced to live in this kind of environment.
Right.
And screwing around with it isn't going to be good for anybody, including us.
Yeah. No, it's incredibly ridiculous to say, well, if we ruin this planet, we'll just move to Mars and fix it up.
No way.
And it's like, there's just so many things. It's like if you're driving along and your car has, it has some problems.
Yeah.
And you go by a junkyard and you see like a rusted out, husk of a car.
Yeah.
An old, 54 Ford or something. And you go, oh, I don't need to fix my car. I'll just move into that one.
There are deadly chemical poisons in the ground.
There's
on
radiation.
Mars. There's no way you can even grow poop potatoes on Mars.
Incredible storms, and it's cold.
Oh, yeah, they'll have a dust storm on Mars, and it'll last like a year.
Right,
right. Because the air is so fine, and the dust is so fine.
And it's so damn far away. I mean, I don't think people get that. It's like, well, we've been to the moon, and
the moon
they're
goes
both
around
up,
the
they're
Earth.
Both up in the sky.
Yeah, right. Look, there it is.
No, it takes you right now, 6 months to get to the get to Mars?
Yeah.
And, if you run out of, Mountain Dew or something, it's going to take like a year's round trip to get you another six pack.
The World Bank on Tuesday was optimistic about
what?
About global growth, because we need more of that. In its latest Global Economic Prospects report, the World Bank projected global growth, this is like cancerous growth, to hold steady at 2.6% this year, an upgrade from its January forecast of 2.4%, and predicting that output would edge higher to 2.7%. And this is despite the fact that there's been a lot of things going on, as you may have noticed, like the Ukraine and Ukraine and Middle East and so on. But actually, the one of the reasons, and I don't know what the giant orange one thinks of this, but one of the reasons why they upgraded it is because of the resilience and dynamism of the United States' economy.
Mm.
That terrible, horrible.
I thought things were falling apart.
It's a hellhole.
Trump told some story the other day about how department stores like Walmart and Target were under siege, and I assume it involved immigrants, that they would come in with 500 people and just rob them blind. And they would take things like window air conditioners and walk out, and the cops couldn't do anything. Cause
where was this happening?
Everywhere. It was in his mind. in the theater of the mind.
Wow.
But then he said, if the cops try to stop them, the cops get fired because you can't touch those people. And, you know, it's just like all these. It's like every day is Festivus
he
with
probably,
that guy.
Yeah, he probably saw a Latino with an air conditioner in a car and immediately assumed that was the only way that that would happen. Jeez. Oh, so, Lord. The terrible, terrible man.
Hey, this it's the graduation. A lot of high school graduations going on right now, and but this is the big one. It's the Sandy Hook survivors are graduating from high school this month.
So. A caller wants us to be nicer to RFK. So he's more than a brain worm. No, he's not. We're not saying he's a brain worm. He just has a brain worm. No, but he's the one who got gliophosphates. Is that right?
He did some really environmental work at one time, but
he's on the ballot in 18 states. That's what we want to know. Yeah. So he's on the ballot in 18 states. Thank you, listener, for letting us know that. He's eligible for 340 electoral ballots. How many do they have to have before they...
270.
270.
So he must be on some big states then.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, caller. We're still going to make fun of him, by the way.
Yeah, we're not going to back
We respect your opinion, but we're not going to stop making fun of him.
No.
Let's see. Another, we're doing the space stories. Here's some new software has let scientists find evidence that there are volcanoes on Venus. That's right, lava rivers on Venus. As you know, Earth and Venus were both made about the same time, we think.
Yeah.
And both are made of the same kind of stuff. And they're probably about the same age, and they're actually about the same size. So why is Earth a paradise overflowing with water and life, and Venus is a scorched hellscape with acidic skyes? Immigration, I think.
Is that it?
that's Trump talking there. That basically it's a runaway greenhouse effect. Runaway greenhouse effect.
Yeah.
How bad could it be? Pretty bad, apparently. It turned what they assume was used to be a temperate, waterlogged world into an arid desert of burning glass. Scientists have been trying to catch a Venusian eruption in the act, and they haven't been able to up till now. But now they have new software that it's enabled them to analyze some of the radar data that they've generated over the years. And the Venus is just effervescing with eruptions. It's like a little bubbly drink of some kind.
Little teenager.
Yeah. It doesn't have plate tectonics Venus doesn't like the Earth does, but it's got a similar rocky constitution and its comparable size suggests that something is still cooking inside the planet. So, apparently it is. Venus is active. Mars do that too. That was one of his concerns. More importantly, volcanically speaking, Venus is Earth-like. So it's not just that they have volcanoes, but they have volcanoes not unlike the volcanoes that we have here.
Oh, okay.
So.
Very good. So this is an odd little thing from the Madison subreddit. Somebody posted that every once in a while, just at random, somebody puts small cans of beans in their mailbox.
Okay.
And then other people responded saying, "Oh yeah, that's happened to me too." So is this a thing where somebody goes around and is it like the little library or something where are people just giving people beans? Or?
I like that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind getting beans in my mailbox.
I know,
as long as they're in a can.
Yeah, I mean that's
like not a pile of beans, unless they're magic beans.
Beans and fentanyl, you know. Yeah, right. So I don't know if anybody knows anything about the beans. Drop us an email at themelonfloydmailbag@gmail.com. And notice I didn't say call because I didn't want to subject our poor receptionist to a million calls about beans.
Yeah. Yeah, send it to the mailbag.
Yeah, so.
Or the bean bag, as we like to call it.
There you go. New York City braces for heat dome as meteorologists predict, stop me if you've heard this, historically hot summer.
Yeah.
So.
Well, 2023 actually set a record for heat deaths. I don't know if you heard that. Yeah, no, it's very sad. The death certificates of more than 2,300 people who died in the United States last summer mentioned excessive heat as the cause. That's the highest number in 45 years of records. And, of course, 45 years is significant because, you know, prior to fairly recently, people didn't have air conditioning as widely. So what you're seeing now is, of course, a trend up even with the presence, wider presence of air conditioning.
It's because the immigrants are stealing all the air conditioning.
Yeah. They gave a story here, a poor guy in Phoenix that went out to just hang the laundry.
Oh,
and
no.
It was 108 degrees. He was 73 years old, and he was found dead. His body core temperature was 107 degrees.
Ow.
It's very hard for older people to control their temperature.
And their temper.
I want to mention, too, that Greece, the nation of Greece, is experiencing intense heat there. Temperatures
really?
Reached 101 degrees Fahrenheit in Athens just on Wednesday and topped 107 degrees yesterday. They've gone down today, fortunately. This is according to the Greek National Meteorological Service. But some places in the mainland, this is, you're talking about, you know, they have islands and stuff as well in Greece. But someplace in the mainland, they expected probably got up to about 109.
Really?
But they had locked down the country for a couple of days. Schools were closed, and there were restricted visiting hours for tourism. Authorities were trying to make sure that there were no hikers or people out in the mountains during this period of time. And meteorologists are really worried that Europe is in for another scorching summer. So last summer's heat and wildfires hurt, of course, tourism in Greece. But they still did pretty well overall. But this is not even the worst. Of course, last month, as you'll remember, in New Delhi, in India, it was the highest temperature ever
measured.
Like
127 or something.
Very good, 126. Good memory.
Yeah. Jeez. So, no, I don't know this. I'm just assuming. I would think Greece would have a fairly temperate climate. I mean, being on the Mediterranean and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, all that area in the southern part has been of Europe has been problematic. So. Mm.
Yeah. So here's a new psychology study. We've got about 2 minutes left here, but it says shared music experiences enhance pleasure and boost kindness in people.
Aww.
So when you're sharing something either live or through the radio, which explains something to me, because I mean, you know, that there is this magic about radio, and I don't even know what it is, but I feel it, and I think a lot of people who listen to WRT especially feel that, and you feel like you're part of something, you know. And I mean, I love listening to the Jaguar, and I know that stuff that he brought from home, and it's something he's curated, and he's got some information about it. Or listening to Rockin' John, who knows all the background on all this. And there's something about sharing and knowing that there's other people, like in our case for our show, there's dozens of people out there listening.
I was mentioning to Chris before you came in that, you know, how often we do get people who are giving to the station who mention his show as well. I love the diversity of musical taste that we find among the people that even listen to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, we found this with COVID that we thought restaurants were so important that we had to kind of carve out a little way that people could still to some extent you know, experience that.
Yeah.
And the fact that even if you're sitting in, you know, in your car in traffic, your brain still knows that there's thousands or hundreds of thousands of people listening to the same thing you're listening to at that same time.
Right.
And it's a very powerful thing. I mean, we're such social creatures.
So are you trying to say they should vote for Mel and Floyd as the best radio team?
Yes, exactly. That's where I was going with that. Madison Magazine, you get to vote through the end of the month. We're halfway through the month. You can only vote once per email address. Wink, wink.
How many email addresses do you have?
I don't know. So, all right, we got to get out of here. Time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy the weekend. Speaking of hot, I think it's going to be pretty darn hot. So yeah, be careful out there. So just soak yourself down in cold water.
Have an avocado.
So have an avocado. Yeah. Okay, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
Have a gatto. Pants, it was great to see you.
You too, buddy.
Thanks again to everybody who came out and visited at the waterfront last week. And thanks to everybody who pledged last week. And you can still pledge through the end of this week here. We've got a challenge grant. So it is 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Stick around. The kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks for You with The Real Jaguar.
Come on, Babs! This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, June 14th.
Sam Alito is so ugly that he can't even see his ugliness. I don't mean looks, but the deep inner ugliness of character that keeps oozing from this so-called supreme judge. Start with the unabashed lies he told senators to win his lifetime appointment to America's powerfully undemocratic judicial branch. Lie number one was his promise not to mess with women's constitutional right to reproductive freedom. But once he put on his authoritarian black robe, he wrote the court's edict ripping that right from every woman. Later, Alito got caught secretly accepting a freebie trip to a luxury fishing lodge paid for by a billionaire vulture capitalist. Far from embarrassed, Alito haughtily asserted that as a supreme, he has no ethical duty even to report such gifts of, quote, personal hospitality. Indeed, he's led the Supreme Court's corrupt refusal to adopt an enforceable code of ethics, which every other public office must do. Which brings us to Alito's current flag flap, revealing a clownish show of tone-deaf arrogance. Abandoning any pretense of judicial impartiality, he's had flags flying at both his home and beach house, ostentatiously trumpeting his embrace of MAGA extremism and his opposition to President Biden. How, then, can he be a fair judge of upcoming cases concerning Trump's anti-democratic power grabs? No problem, said Alito, imperiously waving off proper demands that he remove himself from ruling on these cases. Trying to deflect a tsunami of criticism, the black-robed scoundrel resorted to the classic gentleman's dodge. He blamed his wife. My wife is fond of flying flags, he said, insisting that he never even noticed them flapping in front of his house for the world to see. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's not just ugly, it's supremely stupid.
This is Pride Month. Join friends at the